Now stand up and let's get ready to fly. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and verse 17 is where we are picking our text from.
If any man see his brother's...
Some people never open or go, pastor. But you can look at the screen if you are here, but online members. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and verse 17. Listen very well. Go ahead.
If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
Verse 16 again.
If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it.
Verse 17.
All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. We're going to look at this topic, and many people have called in various times, asked the meaning of the sin unto death. We're looking at the topic entitled the sin unto death. Let's understand it. Sin unto death. Apostle John is saying it clearly. Let's read it again. Verse 16. We are supposed to pray for one another, but what?
If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death.
That is, if you see your brother committing any sin, but that sin is not unto death, what should you do?
He shall ask, and he shall give him life for you, them that sin not unto death.
You will pray so that the person can be restored. For those whose sin is not a sin unto death.
There is a sin unto death.
There is a particular sin that is unto death.
I do not say that he shall pray for it.
Don't pray for anybody that commits sin unto death.
All unrighteousness is sin.
All unrighteousness, if you do anything breaking the commandment of God, is sin.
And there is a sin not unto death.
But there is some sin that is not unto death, whereas there are some sin that is unto death. That is, if you commit that sin, there is no pardon. No matter how they pray for you, you are wasting your time if you are praying for that person. And they are in three categories. The first one is John chapter 12. Verse 31 and verse 32.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be judged. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Sorry, Matthew chapter 12. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and verse 32. Matthew, sorry.
Wherefore Matthew. I say unto you,
listen very well.
All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Jesus. And before Christ made that statement, listen very well. Listen. Unbelievers don't commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. It is people who say they are believers. I say people who say they are believers. People who say they are Christians. People who say they are ministers of God. People who say they are leaders in the church that can commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Listen, what is this blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? Why did he make that statement? He did not belong to the Sanhedrin Council, Jesus. He did not go to their school of theology. He was not a member of any association. But he came and he was condemning all their errors. But that is not even their problem. Their problem is that he was performing miracles, signs, and wonders. He had a grace, an anointing, that those leaders who we are supposed to be carriers and leaders, carriers of the Lord, teachers, they didn't have. People were looking up to them as some great people, but this man came and was attracting attention from them. And therefore, out of envy, because it is envy, they know that this person is using the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost. They know that God's hand is upon him. This is where the blasphemy is. The blasphemy is that you know. How did he know they know? Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. He came in John chapter 3 and said, "Master, we know." He didn't say, "I know." Who are the we? The leaders. "We know thou art a teacher, come from God." So they knew. But attention is shifting from them to this anointed man of God, anointed carpenter, anointed teacher. So that people will not leave them and go there. They had to target of the devil. They were doing it out of envy. Church, listen. It is an unpardonable sin. And it is very easy for people to commit this sin. But the truth is this. Amen. He that is born of God does not commit sin. You know why? Because the Spirit of God that is in you will always witness God when he's operating somewhere. And no matter how much you get so carnal and you want to reach the position of envy, you may be angry and envious of that person, but there is a limit to that envy. You will not say certain things. And Jesus said, anything you say against the Son of Man, what he means is, this is the stage of his ministry. He came to be abused. He came to be insulted. He came to be rejected. You can say anything you like to say. It is the price I am paying for redemption. It is my cross. But after I have overcome, gone to the cross, paid the price, take it to glory, then come back to walk in my church, and you still call me devil, that sin will neither be forgiven here nor forgiven after. The reason is Jesus cannot be crucified two times. That is one. I'm saying this because when the Bible said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, I said prostitute and occult people will not gnash their teeth. And sometimes we take a lot of things for granted and allow our carnality to send us to hell. When you see a gifted brother, a gifted sister, listen very well. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. When you see a gifted brother, a gifted sister, manifesting a grace, if you have reason to say it is of the devil, it's okay if you can prove it. Because there is another Jesus. There is another spirit. Amen. But you must also know that even to the rebellious, God gives them gifts. While I can speak against your character, I must not speak against the anointing. That is what I want to teach you. While I can speak against your character and you are free to judge anybody's carnality, speak against it. But don't cross the boundary with envy and speak against the anointing and call the Holy Ghost devil. You are finished. And many people have crossed the border and they're just waiting for the day that they'll be manifested. For the rapture will take place and they will soon discover they are not in a rapture. That is the first one. I want to emphasize it. You can speak against the character. See the way she dress. See the way she dey lie. I caught her with a man fornicating. I have evidence. No problem with that if she's guilty of it. But if she is not also guilty and you are speaking like that, you are troubling a servant of God. You are frustrating the grace of God upon that person. The God that called that person, you are hindering the flow of that grace there by disturbing the peace of that vessel. If that person is genuinely called of God, be ready for judgment. Nobody goes free when you try that. Praise the Lord. Because the truth is this. Amen. It was Prophet Daniel that made this statement. He saw somebody on the television manifesting an anointing. And he said, Lord, give me this grace. Give me this anointing. And he said, the voice spoke to her, you are asking for an anointing. Can you pay the price for that? Most of us that God is using, you don't know the price we are paying for that ministry. And so, if you cannot encourage us, don't discourage us. Leave us alone with He who calls us. If you don't want our ministry, walk away. If I stay here and I mention your case, don't come out because you believe I am evil. Sit down there, don't come out. Simple, I don't want it. And you have not committed sin. And you have only lost the blessing. That's all. Be careful. And don't be busy over other men's matter. The Bible says so. Face yourself. Make your calling and election sure. Nobody is an inspector of the spirituality of anybody. God did not appoint inspector of holy people. You are busy looking for holy people. Then you are judging this one. It be like this one. That is all you talk about when you meet anybody. Even that action shows you are not converted. No converted person enjoys such discussions. And above all, you will never benefit from that gift. If you cannot help the person, don't discourage the person. Go your way, I go my way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one sin unto death. Praise God. The second sin unto death is what I've explained before. This one now, listen. The sin unto death. I say you should not pray over it. Listen very carefully, all of you that fire me question up and down. Now, when God gives you a promise as a child of God, between the time the promise is made and the time that the promise will manifest, there is a proving time. That waiting period, amen. A lot of people will do certain things that will make God to stop them from receiving that promise. Let me just tell you this. There is an answer. Remember that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received eternal life. Thank you, Enyi. One, it has corrected my grammar, my English. Pastor Evie Smart called me. He said, that the language once saved, forever saved. He said it's wrong. And I agree with him. When you see it, say forever. Forever means for a long time. That means there is a time it will end. That is forever. But eternal has no end. So once saved, eternally saved. That's the correct grammar. Thank you. Maybe you go to school, pass me. So now we believe that once you are saved, you are eternally saved because you have eternal life. And when God gives you his spirit, eternal life, he cannot take it back. But this is somebody that has eternal life. Amen. But he's misbehaving. Can I have eternal life and misbehave? Yes. In the same way as my biological son, my blood is flowing in him, can misbehave and give me pain in my heart. Give the mother pain. But my blood is in his blood. And there is nothing I can do. Oh, glory be to God. There is nothing I can do that he will no longer be my son. So it is with eternal life. Therefore, if he commits something with before God, God will chasten you. Whom he loves, he chasten it. And this is it. He can strike you with a sickness that no matter who prays for you, there will be no healing. He can kill you. Instead of allowing you to disgrace his life, he can kill you and take you home. But you lose your reward. The reward that you'll have gotten. So that is another sin unto death. But the one that I want to focus more on today is this third one. And it is the sin that makes you to fall from grace. And we see that statement in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. And we're going to do some reading within the short time I have.
Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace.
Now that is a statement. Ye are falling from grace. So when you read that, you want to ask, can somebody fall from grace? I say, yes, you can fall from grace. And falling from grace, what makes you to fall from grace is also another sin unto death. The sin that will make you fall from grace is also a sin that is unto death. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a gift of God. That is how Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read it from verse 1. It's a long reading, but please pay attention so that you catch the picture.
And you are till quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins.
You were dead in trespasses and sins.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world.
That was your lifestyle before you met Christ.
According to the prince of the power of the air. Yes. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
That is the spirit that is working in all these unbelievers. They are called children of disobedience.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in time
past. That was our lifestyle before.
In the lust of our flesh.
Uh-huh.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind.
Uh-huh.
And we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
That is, they are ready for judgment of God to come and consume us because of that lifestyle. For that is the reason judgment is coming upon this world. We were part of them before. Verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy.
Rich in mercy because... Go ahead.
For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins,
you see,
hath quickened us together with Christ.
Uh-huh.
By grace ye are saved.
Uh-huh.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places.
See where we are. We are now spiritually in heavenly places. Go ahead.
That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace.
Yes.
In his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Grace is by our salvation is by grace. Yes.
And that not of yourselves.
Uh-huh.
It is the gift of God.
That is my emphasis. It is grace. It's a gift of God. Go on.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
And this grace that we are talking about, church, amen. The grace that we are talking about, that we all talk grace, 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 is what Titus spoke about in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. This is his description of that grace.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Again.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
We are reading Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Listen. Listen again. The grace, there is the grace of God that bringeth salvation. I want to emphasize it. That means there is also the grace that does not bring salvation. Amen. In one of our messages, I took time to express this, because especially we that are gifted, we that see vision, we hear God talk to us. We do deliverance. We have healing gift, word of knowledge. Mighty miracles, signs and wonders that take place by us. Listen, that gift you express is also a grace, because it is unmerited. A gift is anything you didn't work for. A gift is different from a reward. A gift is anything you did not work for. Many of the genuine gift, most of those who operate this gift, they are born with the gift. And there is the tendency for you to think that it is evidence of salvation. The operation of your gift is not evidence that you are saved. That grace does not bring salvation. Pastor Moses, the grace to preach, I am not going to heaven because I am a preacher. I am not going to have eternal life because I pray for people who are sick. Because I have any gift at all. That is not the reason I am going to heaven. Listen, because I have this revelation, I try by all means to ensure I am saved first. When I am saved, then I am using that gift for the reward that I will have when I get to heaven for what I did with the gift. Oh, man of God, yes, because of the gift you see in me, I am a man of God. But don't, because of the gift, say I am a son of God. Don't call anybody son of God easily like that. Because you may be a servant of God and may not be a son of God. There is the grace that has no salvation. But that grace has benefits. It attracts blessings. Through that grace, many of you are riding cars. But boy, now, 7 cars. Since within the last 20 years, he has changed 8 cars. It's because of the grace, so nothing more. That's where it ends. That's where that grace ends. For here. All of them sitting down there, all of them have cars. It's because of grace. Timo, you didn't have car until that grace manifested. Correct? Eh? The only person here that had car before grace manifest is Elvis Smart. That's why we call him the businessman that loves the things of God. Zacchaeus. Praise the Lord. The rest of us, whatever you have now is because of that grace. Amen. But listen, That grace has nothing, I repeat, nothing with salvation. That's why when a preacher say God call him to preach prosperity, I just know he is lying. Brother, you are lying. There is no ministry of prosperity in the Bible. The ministry every preacher has is the ministry of reconciliation. But the truth is that if your soul is prospering, naturally you will also prosper physically. But prosperity of the soul first, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and other things will follow. I want to emphasize this so that we don't take your attention away from salvation and face prosperity and begin to do competition in the display of gifts, so that everybody will say, I am gifted. Stop that. Revelation has come beyond that place now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what is grace that bringeth salvation? I have taught it here before. The first person that benefited from it was Noah. Destruction is coming upon this world. I have to rush this sermon. The time I have is not much. So I want to make reference, go back and read them. Noah. God came to Noah. Destruction is coming upon this earth. He had decided to wipe away the whole earth, even animals. And the Bible said, but Noah found the grace. What is the grace that Noah found? It is the grace that brought his salvation. What is that grace? It was not a gift. It was not an anointing. It was a revelation. A knowledge. What is the knowledge? The whole world were enjoying themselves when danger is coming. But the mercy of God projected and found Noah. Not because Noah was better than anybody at that time. That is why it is a gift. He decided to choose him and gave him a secret. Noah, listen. He said, judgment is coming. This is what I will do. But you will not be destroyed. This is what you will do to escape. Build an ark. You see where grace went? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he benefited from grace. Grace that made him to know there are people that are going to church today, but they have not yet found the grace. They think that grace is just confessing Jesus Christ, Lord and personal Savior. No. Amen. Grace. Hallelujah. That grace teaches. Read it again.
Chapter 2. 2:11.
For verse 11 and verse 12.
For the grace Titus. Of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, yes, has appeared to all men.
Uh-huh.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts.
You see, there has to be something you will deny. That act of denial of certain things is called righteousness. I've explained that before. Let me not waste too much time on that. Noah benefited from the grace that bringeth salvation. Lot, destruction is coming upon Sodom. Not that he was praying, no. The grace of God found Lot and told him, get out of this city, you and your family, for I will destroy this city with fire. That is grace that brought salvation to Lot and his family. There was a knowledge, a revelation he had that others didn't have. That's why it is a gift. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Rahab benefited from that grace too. The city of Jericho is to be destroyed. Everybody there will be killed. But she found grace, a gift, and she was saved. The same thing also with Ruth. Instead of dying in hunger and frustration, she found grace through Boaz, and she was redeemed. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the gospel of grace. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16. That is where you see grace.
And he said unto them,
yes,
go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Uh-huh.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
He that believeth, he said, go and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, that is, go and tell the world that this, tell the people, this world will perish. Judgment is coming. Destruction is coming. Go and tell them. Anyone that believes, the gospel is grace. If you believe, what is evidence you believe? There will be an action of righteousness. What is that action? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the destruction that is coming upon this world. But there are a lot of people that have received this grace. Let me give you one or two examples of those who received the grace but failed from the grace. They fell off the grace. Number one, which everybody knows, is Lot's wife. Why did Jesus in Luke 17 verse 32 say, remember Lot's wife, when he talked about the sign of the end? Lot's wife received grace. Please listen very well. Zoe, Lot's wife received grace. But she fell off of that grace. When you don't continue, grace is not only in knowledge, grace goes with a response from you. That response is called righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What was the action of? There was a simple instruction. Simple instruction. Don't look back. And when God wants to test your appreciation of grace, He uses very simple things. He uses very simple things. Is it difficult? Don't look back. Is it difficult? Is it difficult? He said, don't look back. And when he said, don't look back, he didn't say, if you look back, you will become salt. He just said, just go ahead. Don't look back. Don't look back. Oh. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. He's talking to those who will hear the gospel of grace. And instead of responding fully and following him to do what grace requires of you, grace teaches something. Respond to it. You don't follow it. Amen. And decide to look back to where you were called out from. Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. And I ask, why not pillar of sugar? Why not turn to a dry wood? In another message I will preach, I will tell you why it was salt she was turned into. Praise the Lord. But for now, let's look at the fact that she escaped from fire. Amen. But that was grace. But she did not make the promise. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. so that you will not become pillar of salt. I will tell you what that salt is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh yes, now that's why you have, and that is why just like the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's read it from verse 1, read it up to verse 12.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant.
This second example is Israel in the wilderness. That is the second example. We have looked at Lot's wife. The next example is Israel in the wilderness. Read on.
How that all our fathers were under the cloud,
yes,
and all passed through the sea,
yes,
and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual
drink. And you see, all of them, they partook of everything, yes,
and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them.
And it's a and type that, of Christ.
Yes. And that rock was Christ.
Yes.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why?
For they were overthrown in the wilderness.
They were also overthrown like Lot's wife in the wilderness. They didn't make the promised land. They, like Lot's wife, they did not make the promised land. Church, listen. The promised land of each, listen very well. The promised land of Israel, the church natural, listen very well. It's not heaven, no. Their promised land is the land of Canaan, their own land for possession. Our own promised land. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. There is no promise of eternal life in the Old Testament. Everything you see that was speaking of, was typing what was going to happen with Christ and his church. So, the punishment for any of them that had that promise that came under the covenant of Abraham, the children of Israel, the punishment, the last, the greatest punishment that you will have when you commit anything is death, physical death. So, when you say, kill them, you say, why is he killing his children like this? That was the ultimate punishment. Death. That was why Judas decided to offer to himself the ultimate punishment, death, and killed himself. Read on.
Verse 6. Now, these things were our examples. To the Ethans, we should not lust after evil things.
Whatever they went through and how God was dealing with them, it is an example for us. The way he dealt with them natural, that is how you'll be dealing with the spiritual church also. Go on.
To the intent, you should not lust after evil things as they also lusted.
Yes.
Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things are put unto them for examples.
Example.
And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Oh, wherefore?
Wherefore, this is the scripture. Everybody should underline it if you have not underlined it yet.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Fall from where? From grace. From grace. If you think you stand, you are boasting, I'm safe. Take heed, though, you can fall off that grace. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 1 again up to verse 11, another commentary like he made to the Corinthians.
Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear.
That is the admonishment.
Lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest.
There is a rest. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you what? Rest. The rest there is eternal life. The rest there is what the rapture is going to achieve. He will pack us and we will dwell forever with him. Where there will be no more sorrow. Where Satan will not exist again. Sickness will not exist again. Peace and peace and peace and peace and peace. That is our promised land. That's our promise. How many people are waiting that promise? I expect it to be in that promise. Not too many hands are up. Eh? You are sure? God bless you. Read on.
Lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest,
yes,
any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel
preached. No, wait. Read that verse one again. There's a statement there.
Let us therefore fear.
Again.
Let us therefore fear.
Again.
Let us therefore fear.
Can you now link that with walk out your salvation with trembling and fear? You now know why. So preachers of grace, the way the Pentecostal preach, they don't like that scripture. You cannot walk out your salvation of fear. He said Apostle Paul doesn't know what he was talking about. Now read it again.
Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest.
Oh, glory.
As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein.
Yes.
And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, yes, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people
there
of God.
There is a rest for the people of God that we are hoping to go into, yes?
For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to...
Let us struggle, labor therefore to do what?
To enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
Unbelief. How do we know that you are a partaker of grace, yet you are an unbeliever? The evidence is obedience to what that grace is teaching you. It's obedience. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are followers of a message, the end time message, that called us out of the Sodom and Gomorrah of the denominations. Denominational Sodom and Gomorrah. Where all abominable things are taking place. God is put out, replaced with the rulership of man. And it has gone to an extent now where some of them ordain homosexuals, marry homosexuals, same-sex marriage conducted in the church. I saw a clip of the primate of Methodist Church of Nigeria. This passing a disclaimer, dissociating from the Methodist Church of England, and was saying that since 1962-63, that Nigeria's Methodist Church has cut off from Methodist Church of England, that they are not linked to them, because so that you will not mistake that they too support what the Methodist Church in England is doing. The Methodist Church, they support same-sex marriage and they bless homosexuality. And the Methodist Church in Nigeria is against it. They call it abomination. And that they will not be part of that. You know, their messenger, the star messenger for that age was John Wesley. And they are still making reference to John Wesley, who stood for holiness. Although John Wesley came from your side in England there, but we will follow the truth. Praise the Lord. And these are some of the nonsense that is going on. What of those churches that bring comedians to the altar? To the pulpit in the church? I saw a clip where a church in Port Harcourt, Salvation Ministry. Hey, stop calling names. How will you know who I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Salvation ministry, I saw it. It was a vigil. What was the vigil for? The vigil was to come and they brought one man that was entertaining them with jesting and comedian. That was their vigil. Hey, may God help us. And the man is very anointed. Remember, I'm not talking against the anointing. I am more revelated than to join them and call TB Joshua occultic. I am more revelated to call anybody occultic. No. We know better. That man in Port Harcourt, very anointed. I saw where he removed his suit and did like this, and everybody in that area fell down, plus those who were far from him, all of them fell down. Very anointed, very, very anointed. If he hold you, you fall down. You just fall down. But at the end, he began to show his source that he's not converted and that he's not called to preach the gospel. He's not. God will help him. I pray that you will hear me and repent if it's of God. Stop that. And you who say you are his sons and his daughter, because all of them have sons and daughters, you will follow that nonsense and you don't know that he is a son of perdition. You follow him, he will lead you to hell. If he's a son of God, then he should repent. But if he gets angry, that is evidence of the devil. It's another Cain. It's a Cain that will argue on doctrine with his brother Abel. And instead of repenting, he will kill him. Why? The Bible said because Cain was of the evil one. But they were in the same church, the same womb. May God help us. The entire message is another grace. You were locked into their denomination with their creeds and dogmas. You were laboring and promoting one man and his wife, his family business that he called church. You were laboring and laboring, collecting all the tithe and offering and giving him, and then he was giving you reward with the salary and promotion from area leader to provincial leader to district leader, state leader, national leader, international leader. You were serving the man and you thought you were serving God. There are many of you that are serving your church but not serving God. There are many of you that we are eagles that we are hatched among chickens. You were there, but your nature was different. The elect of God has a different nature. Even where you were not comfortable. You know something is wrong, but you knew no other better. You didn't know better because it is there you were given birth to. You got born again in that denomination. We are the woman and the husband are the daddy and mommy Jews. You didn't know any other thing other than that place, because that is where they taught you how to speak in tongue. That is where Christ met you. That's where you gave your life to Christ. But there is a nature in an eagle. And the build of that nature, hallelujah, requires a different type of food. The food that an eagle eats is not the type of food that chickens eat. Chicken pick from the ground earthly things, that is what they eat on. But the eagle flies up where the carcass is. Fresh food, fresh meat. That is where the eagle will gather. That is the elect of God. That is the elect of God. A sister was in Christ's embassy. She will not wear trousers. And everybody will be looking at her. Why are you not wearing trousers? You look, okay, you look at her. She tried to wear the trousers so that she will belong. But she soon discovered she was not comfortable. She will remove it. Although she was there speaking in tongue with them. And suddenly, she discovered this ministry. Praise the Lord. The mama eagle went looking for them. Wherever all of you are, one way or the other, oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry. God can use any means to get across to you. I was there for counseling a sister yesterday after the vigil or so. Hallelujah. Or before the vigil. I was counseling her. She was an unbeliever. She was attending one of these churches that we had, you know, I think Catholic. She was Catholic. And that's all. That's all she knew. And then she met a young man that believed this message, follows this ministry, and directed her to come to this ministry. And after she came here, she met with Christ. Praise the Lord. She met with Christ. And she's been rejoicing that she has found true salvation. And she's still thanking God. And shortly after, for no reasonable reason, the young man said, "I'll not marry you again." And I say, he has finished his ministry. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. His ministry was to lead you through that relationship. If he's ordained for you, hallelujah, hallelujah, he will not drop. He's ordained to bring you to life. So don't hate him. Love him and be praying for him. It's through him that you came to know the Lord. Yes, after I was released, some few years after I was released from prison, my boss, who used to be like a godfather to me when I was in the Air Force, in fact, he was a godfather to me, and thought that when I come out, I will go and meet him. Maybe for whatever thing, sir. He was the one that insisted I must leave the Air Force. I must be locked up in the prison. He was the one that insisted. And then he sent his ADC to come and look for me one time. The ADC came to me and said, "Oh, guy is saying that you are pulling strings with him. Since you came here, you have not come to see him. So that is to me, you are angry with him, Abby." I said, "No, go and tell Oga, no, amen, that his insistence for me to go to prison was insistence for me to go and receive eternal life. How can I hate him? If he did not send me to prison, hallelujah, because the truth is this, I did not commit the offense. I am at the altar, God knows. I did not commit the offense they troubled me for. I never did it. Praise the Lord." And when the board found out that this one is not, he said he will pull his uniform down. And he was a member of the Supreme Military Council. An air vice marshal. And a very influential one for that matter. Even the president told him, "Leave him now." He said he would drop his uniform. He said, And they knew my relationship with him. So they say, it's Papa and Pekin fight. They were hoping later on he'll pull me out. I told him, I said, "No. If he did not pursue me out into prison, for when I entered there, Jesus was waiting for me there." Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that man. I love him with perfect love. I cherish that man. He is another mystery I understand about salvation. God can use enemies to catch his own. So stop fighting that uncle that sent you to Christ. Stop fighting that condition that made you end up in Christ. Stop fighting it. Now you are out of that nonsense. Freedom now. Now that you have come out, the message you had that brought you out is called grace. Now that you are out, don't look back. If you look back, you'll become pillar of salt. You are falling from grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, go and preach the gospel. We have preached it. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When they came out of the wilderness after hearing the gospel of Moses, you saw what happened. That is the condition of the church till today. Remember, not all that left Egypt made it to the promised land. Many are called, few are chosen. An example are the 10 elders. 12 people were sent to spy the promised land. Only 2 stood with the word of God. Only 2 believed the report of the Lord. In the entire message, amen, is the same setting. Many enter message followers, you are following the report of the elders who were in the ministry of William Branham all these years, but they believe and teach that the days of miracles, signs, and wonders were over with the ministry of William Branham. But there is the too few of us who say, Joshua and Caleb, we are more than able. What you see happen in the denomination can happen in the ministry. What you see happen in the ministry of William Branham, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They will never enter that rest. All those people fell from grace. Among them, we are idolaters. In this entire message, there are idolaters who are idolizing that man, William Branham. You are falling from grace. Fornicators, you are falling from grace. And they're all listed there, including murmurers. Murmurers, if you ever saw this grace, and after coming out, you ever make a reference, when I was in the world, when I was in my former denomination, my business was moving. It was after I found this message and came to Bride that everything closed up. You are the same one that left Egypt. That said, Moses, please Moses, we will have left us in Egypt to be eating our garlic and cucumber. And God was angry. You are not excited at the revelation of salvation that you got. Even Moses did not make the promised land. That is why I say, he who think he stand, take heed lest he fall. The grace Moses has, no mortal on earth apart from Jesus had that grace. Data, Koran, and Abiram were challenging him. Everyone that challenged his calling, God struck that person. Even those who think that they are related by blood, Aaron and Miriam, especially Miriam, you me to be prophet. Because we'll be the same mama, the same papa. They say, no wonder they say a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. You are so close. Ministers' wives don't value the minister. Very few. They don't value you like people from outside there. They value you. Amen. Why? You are so common. Why you talk? Hey, 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 hey. Not only this spiritual. There's one of the ministers here. Anytime he tell his wife, he say, let us pray. The wife will say, now you got to call. Leave me alone. Honey, let us fast now. Let's take 2 days fast. He say, don't carry that to your team. When I did, come and do, go home here. Give me chop money. Give me chop money. Make her go. Give me chop money. Make her go for this. Meanwhile, such a minister, people will travel from far places to wait and take their turn to see him. If only I can see him. Amen. But God is no respecter of persons. He used Moses to prove it. He who think he stand, take heed, lest he fall. What am I talking about? Sin unto death. No matter how Moses prayed, there was even a time God warned, if you open your mouth again, to beg me. I said, you will not get it. Look, oh yeah, stand for that mountain. You don't say, look, you don't see. With your eye, you will see. But you only see for, you just see, you will not enter. Why? He said, because you did not honor me before the people. You struck me a second time. It will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. See people who are striking him a second time, like Moses. No matter how anointed you are, you will never enter the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you are involved in this, you are risking entering the kingdom. But God is merciful. Somebody should repent. From verse 9 to 11.
Know ye not. 1
Corinthians chapter 6.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Uh-huh. That is, you cannot enter. You cannot inherit. Go on.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers.
Sorry. Verse 9 again. Listen. See, this church, we have taught you how to read the Bible. Listen to what he's saying. Read again.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not...
Did he say, know ye not that Christians... Did he say unholy people?
No.
The unrighteous. This unrighteous, he is not talking about prostitutes outside, though. Occult people outside, though. He was talking to the church. Those who have had grace and yet they are not righteous. I have told you the difference between grace and righteousness, so you can understand my language. They have come out from after hearing that destruction is coming, but there is salvation in Christ. They have had it. That is grace. They have come out. They are now with Christ, supposedly, but yet unrighteous. How are they unrighteous? These are the things that make you unrighteous. Because the grace of God that brings salvation teaches you that you should abstain from all ungodliness. Every act of ungodliness is unrighteousness. Now read it again, verse 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
You can never go there. You can't go in the rapture.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters,
idol worshippers,
nor adulterers.
Now, idolaters here is not idol people outside, though. All of you that worship men, directly or indirectly, you are idolater.
Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves.
Yet you are coming to church.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified.
That is who we were before now. Now that you came to Christ, you are washed. You are sanctified.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
And if you go to Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1, read 17 verses there before we move forward.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication, and all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints.
Come, when they say all uncleanness, it's not saying that if you go to toilet, you didn't clean your bum bum, you are smelling. That is the uncleanness. That's not the uncleanness I'm talking about. Oh, for 4 days you never bath, you smell. That's not the uncleanness I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. One uncleanness I know is masturbation. It's a product of unclean spirit. Watch that. That is one thing. Uncleanness. Two, a dirty heart. A dirty heart. And you know that the life we live is out of the abundance of the heart. There are stupid fantasies that you harbor in your heart. It's uncleanness. Lust in your heart is uncleanness. Unclean in the sense that you cannot come with that heart and stand before God and pray, because you know you are unclean. That's why Christ said, forget the cleaning of cup, washing of this. No, it's not what goes in that is unclean, it is what comes out of you. Therefore, it's the condition of your heart is facing now. Go on.
Neither filthiness, verse 4. Neither filthiness.
Yes.
Nor foolish talking.
Yes.
Nor jesting.
Like those comedians that come to the church.
Which are not convenient.
Yes.
But rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no all
hunger. Listen. There is a sense of humor. There is a sense of humor. And there is jesting. This is the difference. Sense of humor is what you say, what you do, and everybody laughs. Everybody, there are jokes that you joke, and people laugh. But jesting is, if you use anybody in a derogatory way, and you cause people to laugh by running the person down negatively, it is a jesting if the person is not happy with it. If the person is not happy with what you are doing, it is wrong. Now, nobody that is born deformed is happy that he's deformed. If you come and begin to mimic a stammerer, you are jesting. It is sin. Or you begin to come and walk like somebody who is physically challenged with a leg, a cripple. Do you think those cripples are happy at the condition that they are in? And then people are laughing at the way you are mimicking him. Sometimes when I see them, in my heart I was saying, Father, I wish you can make the person remain like that, so that he will know what those people are feeling. That is the jesting. Don't use somebody's weakness and make the person feel bad. That is jesting. They must draw the line between humor, joke, that even the person you are joking with will laugh. Not the one that jesting, you're using to jest, is frowning and is angry at you. You have sinned. Now, when you come to the altar and call a microphone and you are joking, everybody is laughing at the pulpit, you are making caricature of the name of Jesus. Jesus is angry. You are jesting. Jesus is angry. They don't know it. Because everybody is laughing, they have no eyes to see Jesus Christ. angry. He purchased that glory by what he went through on the cross. And you are coming to make caricature of that name. The name that carries authority. The name that carries power. The name that he earned by what he suffered on the cross. You are using that name for exclamation. You are using that name to come and joke, and people are laughing. Blind, accursed people who don't even know the God they are serving. They are laughing and clapping their hands. And they don't know they are under a serious curse. Just
verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret.
Yes.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Yes.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Yes.
See then that you walk circumspectly.
See then that you walk what?
Circumspectly.
Carefully. Carefully.
Not as fools, but as wise.
Thank you.
Redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Finally.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise.
Be ye not unwise.
But understanding what the will of the Lord is.
But understanding what the will of God is. I will continue next Sunday. Can we stand up? I'm pressing on. Now upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward march. Oh Lord, plant my feet
on high.
Diagram.
Lord, lift me.
Lord. She got some years back. That is where you see grace again. She said, The Lord appeared to her in a revelation, showed her in a vision. One door by the left, one room by the left, one room by the right. A black man stood by the left, a white man in white apparel, white dress, stood by the right, and people filing. When you reach your turn, some will go left, some will go right. One line, some will go left, some will go right. He said she was number 5 before it will reach her turn. He said the man by the right came with the white and said, "You there, come out." She came out and he said, "Look, you see, these people here are going to heaven. These people here are going to hellfire. You, I don't want you to go to hellfire. That's why I didn't wait for you to reach judgment time." He said, "Listen, I want to use you." He said, "Don't put attachment on your head. Don't wear trousers, a woman. And don't keep boyfriend. I want to use you." And the vision passed. Few days later, he said the same angel came to her again. Because she did not drop the trouser. She did not stop the boyfriend. And the person I'm telling you is here in the church now, is hearing me. And she said, now that is grace. Before she could reach judgment, the angel came to tell, "Don't reach that place in the estate that you are in. If you go, you will go left. To qualify to go right, begin to tell you." She said she still was wearing her trouser and was still with her boyfriend. He said he came again. He said, "I want you. I want to use you. Don't dress like this. Don't keep boyfriend." She said, "I have to keep boyfriend. If not, how will I eat? How will I have money? He gives me money. He gives me this." He said, he told her, "The whole earth belongs to me. If you follow me, I will take care of you." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And she still will continue wearing her trouser. And many of us are in the same estate. You did not see angel in the spirit, but you heard the gospel from an angel. Is a servant of God. We have spoken over and over and over and over and over here. Some will hear it and drop it. Some will hear it and refuse. You are falling from grace. Is it a difficult thing that you should dress like a woman, not like a man? Is it a difficult thing that you should live an honest life? Who told you that if you live honest life in Christ, that you will suffer? Who is giving you that type of gospel? Then you are there living the same life all believers are living. 419, lying up and down, and all the nonsense they are doing there. Who told you that you need to take beer to be happy? Be drunk with the Holy Ghost, not with wine. Who told you that you will die because of poverty? Not when you are with Christ. He makes a way where there is no way. The problem is we have no faith. And you don't know you are playing with your eternal destination. I'm telling you. You are joking with your eternal destination. And when God therefore means to have you, sometimes he go an extra length. His grace can go an extra length. If it is because of something, even a man, a human being, you are depending on to take care of you. That is why you have no time for God. Do you know God can kill that man? There are many of us who are responsible for the death of certain people because you made them your God, and God wants your attention totally. He will not share his glory with anyone. Why are you joking with your life like that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I'm happy that she has finally yielded. Hallelujah. She has finally yielded. But God may not be patient with you like he was with her, because where she was, the church was attending, they permit, in fact, she was attending winners. I mean, it's not secret now. They wear trousers in the winners' church, so I'm not lying against them. But I'm telling you, God is against it. And if you are from winners, tell Oyedepo that wherever, maybe he has not taken time to study the will of God concerning woman dressing. Let him go back and study. Tell Oyedepo to tell his sisters and his church members to dress like men. We're in this world, but not of this world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Instead of repenting now, you will see those idolaters who idolize their pastor, they will be angry with me. Instead of going back to the Bible to see whether what I'm saying is true or false. Okay, she was attending that church. Why did God talk to her and not talk to the other girls there? He said, there were many widows in Israel, but Elijah was not sent to any of them, but that one at Zarephath. Why? Why? It's because he knows if he tells them, they will not agree to take care of Elijah. But this one, even with the little she has, all, she has a given heart. She will give if she hears, thus said the Lord. Why has God told you? God ministered to me here, a particular sister I was just seeing the spirit. He said, three times he told you, don't wear trousers. Three times. See how patient God is. But why did God tell her, and God not tell you where they wear every time? When you're coming to church, you will drop it. When you go back, you wear it. Now it's a different thing. If it is a functional dress, those of you working in the hospitals, laboratories, those of you in uniform profession, police, army, navy, NSD, that for your operation you cannot use skirt. Since you decided to enter to do work where now men are supposed to do, you go dress like men, they do the work of the men. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This thing I'm saying here, I know somebody is going to listen to it and will repent. For this is the love of God. Giving somebody opportunity to repent. Lord, help me. That songwriter said, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. You are falling down. You need to be lifted up again. Before you cross the borderline. Somebody, you are about to cross the borderline. If you ignore what I'm preaching today, you will be crossing the borderline of no return. It becomes sin unto death. You may not know. That's why the mercy of God is causing you to know the meaning of the sin unto death. No prayer when you cross that borderline can bring you back. Lord, help me. Somebody talk to God. If what I'm saying means anything to you, including you who think you stand, he said, take heed lest you fall.
Just one passion. One purpose, to know you more and more.
Talk to God.
When I know you, I'll find
me. Help me to stand. Let me not cross the borderline.
Just one passion, one purpose, to know you more. Find me. No life outside you. No one besides you. Let me know you more and more, Jesus. When I know
may the Lord answer our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. How many people can sing hymn number 239? as a confession. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. It's a prayer. Hymn number 239. If you mean it, let Jesus hear you. Everybody now. Oh, Jesus.